It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, technical editor Kira Pace and educator Laurie Fisher. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Good morning, everybody. We hope you are having a lovely morning, and we do hope you could spend the next hour with us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so we are looking for your participation. This is a good time to call, by the way. If you have a question or answer for us, you might not have an answer yet, but you may have a question. The numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. As I said, this is a good time to call, so I hope you will. We would like to talk to you. You can also email us. We prefer to call talk to you in person, but if you want to email, that's fine too. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And of course, you can also hear the podcast, because I know you'll want to do that. Later today at some point, and that will be up at kalw.org and also many other places, but start with KALW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. We'll be taking questions on just about every subject. We generally discourage, or I do anyway, sports and rock music, but everything else is pretty much open. So I'll leave it up to you if you have a question in mind. Again, 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. So we're going to start with a round of introductions, then a round of questions. It's all pretty simple. And here's the first. Whereas Kira Pace's metal-making skills may have meant something in 1936, this will make more sense after Kira reads Lori's intro. I hope so.
Makes plenty of sense.
Yes. Since 1960, Laurie Fisher has been practicing his meager tug-of-war skills in the hope of participating in the Paris Olympics, which start Friday. He was brokenhearted to learn that the Olympics recently discontinued the sport in 1920.
They did. And cut down from the 92-minute original version, I now introduce our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Yeah, what a windbag that guy is. All right. And we'll begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
Joanne just wrote, so before I start the questioning, I guess I will ask this. Joseph from SF wrote Lori a question. Who is the only comedian who won two Grammys for Album of the Year and Best New Artist? Oh, I think I know the answer to this.
Well, but Joseph only asked me, so I'm going to go with Bob Newhart.
I believe that is correct, because he definitely did win Best New Artist of 1961 or some such.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Joseph.
All right.
My show. Yes.
All right. So I am going to give you a short description of a commercial and an additional clue about its director. And I just want you to tell me the name of the director. Okay.
These are famous directors and famous commercials, I'm assuming.
Yes, famous directors and famous commercials. Right. So I have five of them. The first one, the commercial campaign was It's Gotta Be the Shoes for Nike, 1988. This director's first Oscar was actually a 1983 Student Academy Award. So that's your clue. Okay, it's got to be the shoes.
That's all the first one, right?
That's all the first one. Okay. It's got to be the shoes, Nike, 1988. Number two was the Got Milk commercial for Aaron Burr, or featuring Aaron Burr. or somebody answering Aaron Burr. So the Aaron Burr Got Milk commercial, your clue is that this person has no Academy Award nominations, but plenty of MTV Movie Award nominations and wins. Number three, kind of my favorite, actually. This is a PSA from 1985 for the American Cancer Society called Smoking Fetus. And that was the one where the fetus is smoking a cigarette. To show what happens when the mother smokes while pregnant. So Smoking Fetus, this person, the person who directed it, their first Oscar nomination was in 2009. Number four is the MyCard, or a MyCard commercial for American Express. Includes the lines, "Are those my birds? I need those." The first nomination for this person was, our Oscar nomination was in 2002 for a screenplay. Their first win for an Oscar was 2024. And finally, the person who did both the Geno's pizza rolls and the Encyclopedia Britannica commercials. This person won Emmys in 1950, 51, and 53.
Wow. So, I have just a quick question to ask you. So are these... did any of these people, were these people famous directors at the time they did the commercials? Or why is this all previous to their becoming famous directors?
Two of these are prior, three of them are post.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So again, it's got to be the shoes for Nike, 1988. The second one is Got Milk, the one with Aaron Burr. Number three is Smoking Fetus for the American Cancer Society, a PSA from 1985. Number four is the MyCard commercial for American Express. And the fifth one is Geno's Pizza Rolls and Encyclopedia Britannica.
Okay. Lori, you want to go ahead?
Well, I don't know any of them. One, I have a wild guess on the Got Milk. How about John Landis?
Oh, that's funny. No, it's not John Landis.
All right, because he's—I don't think he's been nominated for an Oscar. That's what why I went with him. The rest, I'm just really guessing on.
No, so I think John Landis did a commercial like for Got Milk. Like it would have to say like "See you next Wednesday" somewhere on it. He's like required by law. You have a guess though?
That was my guess. I'm thinking, Dana, go ahead.
Well, I had a pretty educated guess on the Nike, and then Chris emailed with the same guess, so I'm going to give him credit for this. He says the Nike one is Spike Lee.
That is correct. It's got to be nice. The shoes. Yes.
Very nice.
And then I do know one of them, and because I read some article about this a long time ago, the Smoking Fetus is David Fincher, I believe.
That's true. The early work of David Fincher.
Yeah. And those are the only two that I know right off hand.
Is the Geno Pizza Emmy guy, is he pretty famous?
Yes. Although he is, he's not really famous as a director necessarily. He's famous as a commercial director, and he's famous for other things. And he's the only person on this list that I think is from a completely different generation.
I think I have a good guess for this. How about Stan Freeberg?
Stan Freeberg.
That's correct.
His son, Donovan, was the annoying child in the Encyclopedia Britannica commercial. Yes.
All right. Well, that's good to hear his name. People should, if they don't know Stan Freeberg, they should.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Please go over the ones we have left.
And his son is very talented too. So, okay. They both worked on the Weird Al show. So we only have two left. One of them is Got Milk, the one with Aaron Burr. And the extra clue is that this person has no Academy Award nominations, but plenty of MTV Movie Award noms and wins. And the second one is, a commercial called My Card for American Express. Sorry. Includes the line, "Are those my birds? I need those." This person's first Oscar nomination was in 2002 for a screenplay, and their first Oscar win was 2024. So that's what we have left.
All right. Just before we get to Lori, I forgot to mention something at the top of the show. So on August 3rd, which is Saturday, there is going to be a trivia tournament in Oakland, or a quiz tournament, as I like to call them. And this will be at the Grand Oaks Restaurant. You may remember we did this last year. So it's August 3rd at the Grand Oaks Restaurant in Oakland. If you would like to join, I will not be doing the questions this year. I did them last year. Apparently that was one time too many for some people. But I will be playing. I will be the captain of the team. So if you would like to come, anybody out there, like to come and play, you can come. You can form a team and come, or you can sign up as an individual player and we will put you on a team. It's up to you. Again, so all you have to do is email me here, and I will pass those emails along to mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So it's August 3rd from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Grand Oaks Restaurant in Oakland. And so I'll tell you more about that next week, but just keep it in mind, August 3rd. And all you have to do is email and let me know if you're interested. Okay, so sorry about that. And Laurie, you go ahead.
All right. Well, I have a non-sports related sports question having to do with the Olympics, and it has three parts to it. Number one, I think we all well know what the Olympic rings look like. What do they represent? There's five of them, and I want to know specifically what they represent. Also, depicted on those rings are six colors, black, yellow. Is that blue, yellow, black, green, red, and a white background? Those colors also stand for something as well. They put there very intentionally. What is it?
You mean the colors stand for something completely different than the rings?
Correct. They both represent something else. And then as a bonus, I want to know if you know the Olympic motto, both in English and in Latin. So I'm looking for what the five rings represent. I'm looking for what the six colors that the different colors that are represent, and what the motto is for the Olympics. You get double credit if you get them in English and in the other language, Latin.
Go.
So I believe that the five rings are for the five continents that participate, right?
Sort of.
I think Europe and Asia count as a single continental mass, perhaps. But
so tell me, that's the little hook to it. So what would the five continents represent?
North America, South America, Eurasia, Africa, Australia.
No. Those are in the right neighborhood, but they've named them somewhat differently, which surprised me when I looked
up. Is Oceania?
Yeah. Okay. Oceania. Okay, so Oceania is one. Go ahead.
Oh, is the Americas one?
Yes.
Okay, and then Europe, Asia, Africa.
That's it. Those are the five. Oceania and the Americas are combined. They somehow left out Antarctica because apparently they had no athletes in the Olympics in 1912.
Right.
All right, let's go with the color.
I think they continue to have no athletes in the Olympics. I don't think anyone's coming in from McMurdo.
Synchronized swimming, nothing like that. Ice skating maybe? Okay, anyway, how about the colors? That surprised me. I didn't know this.
It's every color that's represented on a flag, right?
Yes.
Like every color, and there's like every flag is represented in the Olympic rings because it's at least one of its colors is one of the ring colors.
According to what I read, of the 28 countries in the 1912 Olympics, all the colors of their flags are represented in those six colors. So that's exactly
still.
Still? No, not still.
I didn't think so.
We're way beyond that. There still might be one color for each, but I don't know. But that was the original intent. All right, those were the two hard ones. How about the motto?
Well, it's faster, isn't it? Faster, higher.
Two-thirds.
Higher.
Longer?
Not longer.
Faster, higher. Stronger?
Stronger, yeah. Faster, higher, stronger. And in Latin, that would be?
Oh, God, it's been too many years.
I went to high school in Florida. You're not getting Latin out of me.
How about pig Latin then, maybe?
I know, you barely get English there.
But faster, higher, stronger, is that? We'll leave that
out.
We'll
leave it out, yeah.
Yeah, there was somebody majored in Latin who listened to our show. Call on in. Anyway, so very good on the European representation, on the flag representation, and now we're looking for faster, higher, stronger in Latin. Great job.
Okay. All right. Good job. And just to remind you, the two numbers to call with a question or answer, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Stefan calling from Noe Valley.
Hi, Stefan.
Hi. I have actually an unexpected Bob Newhart tie-in with my questions. I have a list of 10 shows, popular shows on television, and I want you to tell me if you know the location, the city that they were based in, or took place in for the large part. So I'm thinking you're probably going to rattle these off right away, but let me just give it a shot. So I have Different Strokes. I have Bionic Woman, Mary Tyler Moore, Eight is Enough, Happy Days, Mork and Mindy, McMillan and Wife, Rockford Files, Bob Newhart, and I Dream of Jeannie.
All right, so let's just go down the list one by one, and we'll see if we can take a guess on those. So let's just start again with first one.
Right, Different Strokes.
That's
New York.
New York,
right? New York. My source said Park Avenue, but yes, New York City.
Mm-hmm. All right,
got to get the street address. Okay,
okay. Yeah, Roy, I don't know about that. Okay.
The next one's Bionic Woman.
I don't know that one.
Well, I don't know. Is that Washington, D.C., maybe? I don't know. I know that their secret government agency works out of Washington, D.C., but I don't know if it takes place in Washington. No, I don't know.
Me neither. Help.
Ojai, California.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. I was a surprise.
All right.
So the next one was Mary Tyler Moore, which I believe is Minneapolis, right?
Yeah. It should be.
Correct.
And then Eight is Enough.
That's Sacramento, I think. Isn't it?
That's correct.
Right. Oh, nice job. Next is Happy Days, that's which I believe
Milwaukee.
We all know. That's right.
Milwaukee, right?
That's right.
I don't know about Mork.
Mork and Mindy is
Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, right.
Yeah. McMillan and Wife.
That's local.
San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's police commissioner of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Rockford Files? I don't know.
I don't know Rockford Files.
That's Southern California. I'm just trying to think which it's a beach, some sort of beach town because he lives near the beach.
Is that somewhere like, is it Orange County or is it?
It's like Venice, North? Venice Beach or I don't know. It's something akin to that. Am I close, Stefan?
Yes, you are close. Malibu.
Malibu. Okay.
Yeah. Fun odd fact: my brother used to live on the same trailer park area that he filmed the show in. It's pretty interesting.
That's right. He lived in a trailer. I forgot about that. He lived in a trailer, and they're always trying to get him to move his trailer or something like that. Right. But go ahead.
First, Bob Newhart show Chicago.
Yes, in an apartment, a high-rise apartment with a sunken living room.
Exactly correct. Exactly
crazy.
Right.
And then I Dream of Jeannie is it's Cape Canaveral.
That's what Joanne thinks too.
But I don't know. They didn't call it Cape Canaveral though.
It's
they
the Space Coast. They were right by NASA.
But they didn't call it Cape Canaveral.
Oh, did they call it Cocoa Beach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
Yeah, my source said Cape Kennedy, but I'm sure that's basically the same thing.
Okay. All right. Did we get
cool? That's it. I mean, I have a couple others, but I think you're going to get them again. I mean, like Soap.
Oh.
What was it?
Wasn't it somewhere in New England?
Tell me the name of the show.
I don't know. I don't know that.
Soap. Catherine Hellman, Billy Crystal.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So it's kind of a trick question. Trick answer. It's a fictional town, Dunn's River, Connecticut.
All right. We get New England cred.
Yes.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, thanks, Stefan. Those are good questions.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. In the 1990s, Comedy Central ran a soap marathon. I'd never seen the show before, and I watched the first episode. It was hilarious. And so I watched the whole marathon. It's 83 episodes, and I stayed up, and I watched all 83 episodes in a row, not knowing that they end on a cliffhanger. It was such a crummy thing to do.
Is that right? The whole show ends on a cliffhanger?
That's true.
Why didn't they run all of Fernwood Tonight then when Martin Mull died? So they should have done that.
This was in the 90s. This is now they're just like the South Park channel. It's all there.
I guess you're right. Anyway, all right. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to talk to you. If you have a question or answer for us, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free. 866-798-8255. And let me see. I want to make sure. John says, John just had the Encyclopedia Britannica and Geno's Piece of Rolls were by Stan Freberg. We got that.
John is correct.
And Eric had a Bob Newhart question here. Let me just look. What San Francisco personality had a serious connection with Bob Newhart? This person was on Chicago radio when he discovered Bob Newhart.
I think it was Dan Sorkin.
That's right. That's Dan Sorkin.
Dan Sorkin was a personality. I grew up in Chicago, and then I read recently that Sorkin promoted Newhart, who was an accountant at the time, with his comedy routines.
All right. Yes, you're right. Okay. Thank you, Eric. All right. Let me give you a couple questions here. So what U.S. state has the fewest percentage of workers earning less than $17 an hour? So in other words, they basically have the most workers that are making $17 an hour or over. So what U.S. state has the least percentage of workers earning less than $17 an hour, which means the most workers that are earning $17 an hour or more?
So, Kira, which state has the highest minimum wage? Wouldn't it be that state? There's a state that has a higher minimum wage than 17, I think.
I mean, the higher minimum wage state possibilities would be California, New York, and Massachusetts, right?
I think so. So let's. I'll pick one. I'll go with Massachusetts. That's just my theory.
I think they're too big, though.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll start with Massachusetts.
No.
Okay. Pick one that's not that then, because I don't know.
You know, I'm gonna stick in New England, but I'll go with something small like Connecticut. They're all rich in Connecticut.
No. So once more, what U.S. state has the fewest percentage of workers earning less than $17 an hour? In other words, the most workers that earn $17 an hour or higher. So what state is that? And then if you want to add guess again on this, what state has the most workers that earn under $17 an hour in the United States? So what state has the most workers earning $17 an hour or more? And what state has the fewest workers earning $17 an hour or less?
I'm going to go with Alabama on the...
Not Alabama.
No. Okay. I think I'm going to think south for that. What do you
All think right. There? And then the second question here. According to the Retail Association of America, what are the three items... So this is as of 2023... What are the three items most bought in impulse checkout lines? So are impulse shopping and checkout lines. So according to the Retail Association of America, what are the three items most bought on impulse in checkout lines?
My gut would say, I don't know if this is too generic, but a magazine or a newspaper. That's right.
Yes,
there.
If you were living in 1982, that probably would be the case.
No, but not anymore. I see magazines there all the time. And
nothing to read.
I mean, candy and gum?
Not candy or gum.
No. Oh. Mm-hmm. Are these things that we'd be likely to see at the checkout counter? Or is it
yes.
More like, okay.
Yes, you would definitely be likely to see them.
It's five-hour energy. like always there. Not really.
So,
I don't think
I said. What is the most common non-food or drink item? So, in other words, they're not food or drink.
Non-food.
Keep it in mind.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, I'll guess batteries.
Not batteries. Nothing you make meth with. But
Non-food or drink by the checkout. Oh, Joanne's guessing chapstick.
Chapstick is indeed one.
Way to go.
Or lip balm, you know.
You
a little bit. So, okay, just once more. According to the Retail Association of America, what are the three most common non-food or drink items bought at supermarket checkout lines on impulse? And chapstick is one, or chapstick or lip balm. And what U.S. state has the fewest percentage of workers earning less than $17 an hour? In other words, conversely, the highest percentage of workers earning $17 an hour or more. And what state has the most workers earning less than $17 an hour?
I didn't get to guess on that one, so I want to guess South Dakota.
You mean the one with the most workers earning less than $17? No, not South Dakota.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to throw in one short question here, one more short question. What children's book, and I wouldn't ask if it wasn't a well-known book, what children's book was banned in China from 1965 to 1991 because of its portrayal, this is a quote, because of its portrayal of early Marxism? What children's book was banned in China from 1965 to 1991 because, quote, because of its portrayal of early Marxism?
And this is an illustrated book, correct?
Yes. Yes, it is.
What about Stone Soup?
Oh, it's an interesting guess.
It is an interesting guess.
Yeah. Not Stone Soup.
Clearly an early Marxist text, there's no doubt about it, but a good portrayal of it.
Everybody adds something, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And because that's basically what they were eating during the Cultural Revolution.
So it's before 1965. And anything Dr. Seuss?
No, so again, what children's book was banned in China from 1965 to 1991 because of its portrayal of early Marxism?
So it was written before 1965, for
yes.
sure. So yeah,
yes. Well,
it would have to be. It would have to be, unless they pre-banned it.
I like your direction, Lori, with Dr. Seuss.
Which Dr. Seuss would be most Marxist?
Early Marxist.
Early Marxist, of course.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, think it over.
Keep it out there. Audience, help us.
Okay. And the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So we'll talk about science today. A few days ago, there was a big boom over New York City. Do you know what was the cause?
A big boom? No.
Yeah, boom in the daytime.
No.
I forgot what day. I think it was Tuesday.
I don't know.
Here's the answer, because I'm short. No. It was a small, tiny asteroid. And luckily for us, it did not do the damage that two did in Russia. One in Russia in the year February 15, 2013. This one injured over 1,000 people and destroyed most glass windows in the city. What was the name of the city?
Like Tunganista or something like that. I can't
very
remember.
Hard name. Even me, I have hard name. Okay, it's called, I'll spell it because it's really hard to pronounce. Chelyabinsk. How do you pronounce that? Chelyabinsk?
Oh, and where was it located?
Oh, that's in Siberia, isn't it?
No. The second one I'm going to talk about was in Siberia. This one was in Russia. I forgot what town. That town is called Chelyabinsk. That was in recent, February 15, 2013. Okay, so I gave his answer already. It was in that little town called Chelyabinsk. All right, so the second one, what you mentioned, is in Tunguska. What year was that?
No.
Okay, with that, I'm short. 1908. No, it destroyed the trees, standing trees for over 1,000 miles. Have this, that hit in Siberia, Tunguska in Siberia, an uninhabited area. If that hit any inhabited area, would have killed millions. So right now we have to worry about Owen. Friday the 13th, 2029, we're going to have one of them coming to us. Not only that, it is one of the largest ever. What is the name of it? Now, everybody remember that. Friday, April 13, 2029. That's very soon. That's very soon. It is named after ancient Egyptian name, god of terror and horror. What is the name?
Oh.
I'm sorry, Joe.
God of horror.
Yeah, this is coming.
You have a picture of it as big, huge.
No, go monster. Ahead, tell us.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, no, you're right. It asks these difficult questions, which is tough. It's called Aphobis. A-P-H-O-P-I-S. And it is going to come. Okay, according to NASA, the thing is pretty huge. It's the largest ever. It is going to, they don't really know exact size. It could be not quite a mile, but maybe three-quarter of a mile. That will cause millions of people deaths if it hit Earth. So according to NASA, it's going to miss us, but because of the sun radiation effect on it, we are not really 100% sure. So everybody, be ready for, again, Friday, April 13, 2029. What is worse, if this thing misses in 2029, it's going to come back again in 2036 with even more chance. If it misses in 2036, it's going to come back in 2069. Eventually, this object is going to touch. Very, very quick question. What is radon? That's for you people living in basements. If you live down in basement, what is radon? R-A-D-O-N.
Radon's a gas, isn't it?
Very good. Yes, it is radioactive gas. Yeah. Anybody living in basement, please have your air checked for radon, and you can remove it. It is very, very dangerous. Radioactive, it can cause cancer. Last question. Who is the president who became president after replacing the vice president and then the president himself? What is his name?
I'm very sorry. Say that again, Ed.
Okay, so this president, known president, famous president, first he replaced the vice president. And when the vice president was removed, he replaced the president as well.
Oh, Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford.
Yeah.
Gerald Ford. Could you please name the name of the vice president? Spiro?
Spiro Agnew, yes.
Spiro Agnew.
All of the great show. Love to talk to you. Everybody in the basement, make sure that you check your air for radon gas. And also remember, time passes slower than people living in the penthouse. So you're luckier. Thank you again. Great show.
Thank you, Reed. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. What's the point of checking your gas when we only got 5 years to live anyway?
Well, we'll be on the radio on Saturday the 14th, 2029 to talk.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
We'll be here. Yeah.
Be able to say goodbye to everybody.
You didn't say the month. Yeah.
If you're listening to Minds Over Matter, hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. If you want to give us a call, 415-841-4134, or toll free, 866-798-8255, or you can email at mindsovermatter1, that's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1 at gmail.com. Okay.
He did say the month. It was April.
We did say April.
April 13th, okay. 2029.
Oh, just before, just before tax day. So, Jed, don't file your taxes till late that day, just in case. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good advice, though. And so John is wondering if the book in question is Yertle the Turtle, the one I was referring to as banned in China. But it is not Yertle the Turtle. Yeah. That had to do with Nixon, I believe. I think Nixon felt that he was somehow being portrayed in that. And Tristan was wondering if the state was the fewest workers earning less than $17 an hour is Hawaii, but no, it is not Hawaii.
I have a question about the children's book. Yes. Looking back, does it make any sense at all, even that it's about a critique of early Marxism, or is it just...
It makes no more sense than the idea of early Marxism itself, so I'll leave it up to you. But no, not really. I suppose if you really had that mindset, perhaps, but it's not a book you would ordinarily think of to do.
Yeah, I figured that. I just wondered if Stone's reference
to Marxism. Yeah. Cynthia is wondering if the banned book in China is Charlotte's Web. That's an interesting guess. But no, it's not Charlotte's Web. And Kira, I think it's your turn.
Okay. What I want to do. I'll do this one. Okay, I have a set of three questions for you. They are related. And here they are. Number one, according to the Hills of Eternity Memorial Park, whose is the most visited gravesite in Colma? Number two, what founder of a world-famous business who died in 1902 is buried in a domed mausoleum at the Home of Peace Cemetery in Colma? And number three, whose tombstone at Holy Cross Catholic Cemetery in Colma reads dignity, grace, and elegance personified?
Ooh.
So three Colma questions for you. Number one, according to the Hills of Eternity Memorial Park, whose is the most visited gravesite? Number two, what founder of a world-famous business who died in 1902 is buried in a domed mausoleum at Home of Peace Cemetery? And three, whose tombstone at the Holy Cross Catholic Cemetery in Colma reads dignity, grace, and elegance personified?
Well, there are a lot of famous people buried in Colma. Mm-hmm. So I know the Hearsts are buried in Colma, though I can't imagine that William Randolph Hearst is the most people visiting his grave.
Yeah, it's not.
He died after 1902, right?
Yes.
That's the second one.
Yeah.
But Joe DiMaggio, I think, is buried in Colma. Is that possibly one of them?
I tell you what, you put Joe DiMaggio's name to one of the three, and I will let you know if you're right.
So is Marilyn Monroe?
No. Marilyn Monroe is in Southern California, and Hugh Hefner is now interred right next to her, or some such.
But so put Joe DiMaggio with another name is what you're saying, right?
No, I'm saying pick one of three.
With another question.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No, all right, I'm saying question. That there are, I gave you three questions. You have to choose one of them to answer Joe DiMaggio.
Okay, then he would be the tombstone with dignity, grace, and elegance.
Okay, nice tag team effort. That is correct.
Good job.
Joe DiMaggio's grave says dignity, grace, and elegance. And in the personified.
Is the businessman who's buried, are there hotels in San Francisco named after him? Is he one of the robber baron types?
No.
Okay.
All right, give the questions once more, if you would. The ones that haven't been answered yet.
All right, according to the Hills of Eternity Memorial Park, whose is the most visited gravesite in Colma? And what founder of a world-famous business who died in 1902 is buried in a domed mausoleum at the Home of Peace Cemetery, also in Colma?
Most visited gravesite, hint, show business, politics?
No hint yet.
No hint yet. Okay.
Not yet.
Too soon.
I have no idea about the 1902 one.
Is the business that the person created, is that business have their name on it?
Sure does.
Is it still in San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay. So that's our hint, Dana. So iMagnon or somebody like that. I'm trying to think of whose business is this. I don't know where iMagnon started, but I'm thinking of that. Who wasn't a Robin?
Well,
Jared.
I mean, Magnon was a popular guy, but I don't know. He would have a lot of people visiting his grave.
No, I'm thinking the second one, the business person who started the business who died in 1902.
No, not 1902. Yeah, it's the 1902 that throws me off. Okay, leave it out.
Okay, good question.
And, Michael is wondering if Wyatt Earp is one of the, is that the 1902? No, that's not Nara. He didn't die in 1902. Did he die in 1902?
He's not a businessman.
Well, he ran his saloons, I think.
I don't think Kara meant that.
But Wyatt Earp is not the answer to any of your questions, Kara.
Yes, Wyatt Earp is the answer to the first one. Yes. He is the most visited gravesite in Colma.
Why is that a sigh? Don't you want people to answer your question?
I do, but they should say which question they're answering. It should not be a blanket answer to all questions.
Every question asked today was the answer.
Well, yes. Is Wyatt Earp the answer to anything? Yes. Why? So, Michael, you said?
Yes, Michael.
Okay. So, yes, Michael is correct that Wyatt Earp is the answer to something. In this case, that he is the answer to most visited gravesite in Colma. So there you go. That was unexpected to me. I did not even realize that Wyatt Earp was here. So.
And more than Joe
DiMaggio. Wyatt Earp is not the answer to the children's book in China.
And he's more visited than he's more visited than Joe DiMaggio's grandma.
Wyatt Earp did not direct the Got Milk commercial.
Thank you for taking that off the list. Okay. And we are a little past halfway, so let's repeat. You don't have to repeat your last question, Kira, but anything else, let's repeat it for the folks who haven't had a chance to hear them. Okay. Kira, start with you.
All right. The two commercial directors I'm still looking for, the first one did the Got Milk commercial with Aaron Burr, where the answer to a trivia question was Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr's not actually in it. And the other commercial director did a commercial for American Express called My Card, involves some birds. This person's first Oscar nomination was in 2002, and his most recent Oscar win was 2024.
And I am looking for our erudite listeners to call in with the motto for the Olympics in Latin. In English, it's faster, higher, stronger. And in Latin, that's what I'm asking for, and that's all I have.
Okay. So according to the Retail Federation of America, what are the three most common non-food or drink items bought on impulse in supermarket checkout lines? This is as of 2023. And I think Joanne got chapstick, so that's one of them. What are the other two on that list? What children's book was banned in China from 1965 to 1991 because of its portrayal of early Marxism? That's their interpretation, not mine. And what U.S. state has the least percentage of workers earning less than $17 an hour? In other words, the most percentage of workers earning more than $17 an hour. What state is that? And what state has the most percentage of workers that earn less than $17 an hour? So, leave that out. And Sarah is wondering if the book ban in China was the Little Red Hand. The Little Red Hand. Though I see the connection there, but yeah. No, it's not the Little Red Hand. And okay, these are total guesses, Kira, on your commercial. I do remember the Aaron Burr one. The guy was eating something, and they were calling.
Yeah,
a peanut butter sandwich, and did not have milk.
That part I don't remember. But yes, and he had food in his mouth, and they were calling.
That's right.
He had studied Aaron Burr his entire life, or something like that.
He was working at the Aaron Burr Museum.
Was it? Okay.
He had the bullet. The gun. Yeah.
So I'm really going to guess either Spike Jones or Wes Anderson for that.
Neither.
Okay.
Those are interesting guesses, actually. I did not write it down. I should have. It's like right around 1990 for the Got Milk one.
Yeah, I remember that pretty well.
I would think it'd be earlier. In other words, they would be too young to do that. I thought it was in the 80s or 70s even, no?
It's not 70s, no. Okay. It could be the late 80s, but I think it's like right around 1990.
Are they well known for directing comedy, this person?
Kind of. I would say a different genre for this guy, but I mean, definitely there are comic elements to his movies.
All right. Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Paul from Marin. Am I on?
Yes, Hi. You are.
Okay. Some of your questions you asked about the percentage of workers. The fewest percentage making less than $17. Could that be Minnesota, where I'm calling from now?
No. First of all, we appreciate you calling from Minnesota. But secondly, no, it's not Minnesota.
Okay. And the other half of that question, could it be Louisiana?
No, but you are geographically pretty close.
Okay. Moving on, items most bought on impulse. I'm not sure if this is a food item, but how about breath mints?
No, there are all these three items are non-food or drink. So just keep it in mind.
I wasn't sure if breath mints counted as food.
That's an interesting question. I guess it's sort of.
I guess they're items that approach your mouth but never go into it.
Well, no.
Based on chapstick, I think is the closest you can get.
Yeah.
Right. No, they're not breath mints. Not breath mints.
Okay. You had an earlier caller who asked about a person who became vice president and then president. I was thinking of Harry Truman, since he replaced Henry Wallace on Roosevelt's ticket.
Oh. Well, he did, but
and then he became president.
That's right. But I think the question, the way he put the question was, the vice president, the sitting vice president resigned, and then there was another vice president who was appointed. Yeah. So,
we can't ask him. Yeah. All right. So I have a question for you, and it's similar to the earlier question you had about locations of TV shows. Okay. So I'm going to give you 10 names of real or fictional people, and you tell me where they live. Okay. So, for example.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, and the more detail you can give me about where they live, the better credit you'll get. So, for
can I ask you this one part of are these from various sources? In other words, are these from, say, movies, books, TV shows? So they could be from any of those sources?
Yes. Some are real, some are fictional.
Okay. All right.
So, for example, if I said Joe Biden, you could tell me Washington, but you could also tell me 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the White House in Washington.
I would have said Scranton, Pennsylvania, I think.
Okay.
You want to know where they currently... Okay, go ahead.
And if I said the great and powerful wizard, well, you could tell me the Emerald City of Oz.
Okay. Right.
So I have 10. Would you like all of them at once or one at a time?
Okay, we'll start with 5. How about that? We'll see how it goes.
All right. Okay, the first 5, Zeus. Number 2, Harry Potter. Number 3, Johnny B. Good. Number 4, Sarah Winchester. And number 5, Keir Starmer.
Keir Starmer?
Yeah, he's the new PM.
Yeah, so he's Keir Starmer is obviously 10 Downing Street, as Kira would.
Has he moved in yet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He moves in the next day.
A bell for you there.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. Yeah. So
Johnny B. Good is
way down in Louisiana. Down in New Orleans.
Yeah, back up in the woods towards the Evergreens. Yeah. I don't know his street address.
There's been a log cabin made of earth and wood, and that's where you would find Johnny B. Good.
Correct. Right.
Well, Zeus is in Mount Olympus.
Yes.
What are the others on that?
Harry Potter and Sarah Winchester.
Sarah Winchester's in San Jose, California.
Yeah, the Winchester.
Is she still there?
Mystery House.
No, I don't think she's with us. In spirit, she's there.
Yeah. Okay. And Harry Potter.
I didn't read that.
In, I've never read any Harry Potter, but it's Hogwarts.
That's where he went to school.
That's
not where he lived.
See. Yeah, all right. Where did he live? What was the... Did he live in London? No, I don't know, actually. It's a shame.
Harry lived under the cupboard in number 4 Privet Lane in Surrey.
Okay. All right.
Under the cupboard. All right, the next 5 I have are The Muffin Man, Scarlett O'Hara, Marty McFly, Sam Gamgee, Sherlock Holmes, and the United States Vice President.
Well, the United States Vice President lives in the Naval Observatory in Washington.
Do you know the address?
Oh, gosh, no, I don't know the address. It's something Circle, I believe.
Yes, it's number 1 Observatory Circle.
Okay.
The Muffin Man lives on Drury Lane.
Correct.
Scarlett O'Hara lives in
Tara.
Yeah.
Outside of Atlanta.
Right.
McFly, isn't it? It's like Twin Pines / Lone Pine, depending on the timeline. I don't remember the city, though. The name of the city?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Whatever. I got the subdivision, so I would like to claim credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you gave the name of the mall. Okay. there is a big part of the movie where he parks the car behind the sign at Lion Estates in Hill Valley, California.
Hill Valley.
All right. And Joanne says Sherlock Joanne is
the last two are Sherlock Holmes and Sam Gamgee.
Yeah, Baker Street for Sherlock Holmes.
26B, I believe, Baker Street, right?
No, it's not 26. It's 20.
It's not 26B?
22. Is it
22B?
It's not 22. It's not 26. 221B. I remember the B. That's what I remember.
221B, okay. Baker Street. And last for you, Sam Gamgee.
That I don't know.
I don't know.
That's some Hobbit stuff, so I'm out. Aaron's like Arendelle, Avondale. I don't know. Aaron Arundel. I don't know.
Sam lives on Bagshot Row in the Hobbiton in the Shire.
The Shire. Okay.
Of course. We knew that.
All right. That's enough for now. I have enough,
that's a good
but
number.
I'll save it for next week.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate your question. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. Feel free to give us a quick call. We have a few minutes left in the show. 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm Jan from Tiburon. And
hi.
I am wondering if the a businessman who is buried in the Home of Peace Cemetery, I believe in 1902, was Levi Strauss, the Blue Jean Czar.
Yes, he had some real estate in San Francisco and also some in Santa Clara, or Santa Clara bears his name. You are correct, Levi Strauss.
Nice work.
Nice great job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I should point out that Mark and Tina also had that at Levi Strauss. So give them credit for that. Rebecca is wondering if the banned book in China is Peter Pan. It's not. And Carlton is wondering if the checkout line impulse buy are lottery tickets. They are not.
Oh, that's a great guess.
So, yes. And CM got Levi Strauss as well. Sorry about that if I missed that earlier. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Howdy, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Howdy. Kara, did you get the most visited Grange site yet?
We did, but who'd you have?
Oh, well, I figured Marilyn Monroe is, I was going to go a little more low rent and say Carol Doda, but.
No, it was Wyatt Earp, as it turns out.
Oh, Wyatt Earp was the most visited one? For
most
some reason,
visited,
I thought I was.
Yes.
All right.
Most visited grave site in Colma, Wyatt Earp.
Oh. Is the least amount or the most amount of people making under 17 an hour, is that Arkansas?
The most amount of people, I'm forgetting my own questions. it is not Arkansas, no.
Ah, okay.
Although Lori guessed Alabama and another caller guessed Louisiana, and Dana did say it was geographically close to that. So
yes,
and that's still true, right?
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Yeah. We're getting,
well,
okay,
I can't think of any other.
I might split that difference.
That
let's go with Mississippi then.
That would be
Mississippi
my guess.
Mississippi is the state that has the most people earning under $17 an hour. And that is 41% of the workers in Mississippi earn under $17 an hour.
Oh my. 41%.
Yes.
Oof.
All right. Oof. So, and then the book ban, is that it's not Clifford the Big Red Dog, is it?
It is not Clifford the Big Red Dog. Red does not factor into it at all. Just a point.
Okay. And then I got a question about three celebrity chefs. If you can tell me, there's one of them that won a major acting award, one that was captain of their high school basketball team, and one that turned down a very high-profile job to take a corporate job, director of a corporate, a large corporate food service job. I wonder if that's all too vague, or can you make any guesses on who those
are? These
people
chefs still cooking? Are they still with us? Or are they?
Two of them are.
So,
captain of the basketball team, acting career, and corporate job.
Yes. Turned down a very high profile job to take a
is Anthony Bourdain one of them?
No.
Okay.
What was the, I'm sorry, what was the wording on the acting one?
I just won a major acting award. I'll say specifically they won the Silver Lion Award at the Venice Film Festival for best acting.
And this is a celebrity chef?
Yes.
Were they a chef in the film or in the work?
No.
Yes.
Hmm.
This seems like it should be so obvious. I can't believe I don't know this.
And it's a Merchant Ivory film.
Oh.
Oh.
Early. Not one that I was familiar with.
But we're familiar with the chef.
Yes. I was familiar with the chef before I knew about the actor.
Well, this may give it away, but tell us the Merchant Ivory film.
Shakespeare Walla?
Ooh. Oh, so is this a South Asian person?
Of descent, yes.
Okay. No, I still don't know.
I don't know.
Nope.
And the basketball team. Madur Jaffrey.
Okay.
All right.
And the basketball team is going to be probably a male? Can I assume it's a man? No, okay, a female.
Oh, okay.
Right, well, then, shame on
me. Female and tall.
Yep.
No.
Very famous. Julia Very Child.
Famous. No.
Oh, really?
I didn't see that stuff.
I think it's called the Branson School, Brantford School, up in Marin area.
The Branson School is famous, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, without shark, what was it, the shark? And now it came through the word, the shark repellent. Without shark repellent, I wasn't getting to Julia Child.
No. And the final one was Jacques Pepin. Turned down the White House chef job under Kennedy to take the food director job at Howard Johnson's.
Really?
I thought that he later became a White House chef.
Don't believe he did, no.
Oh, I thought he did.
He was asked to by Jackie Kennedy, and he was offered the Howard Johnson's job to be director of their foods.
Took that instead.
Maybe develop their fried clam recipe that we all love so much.
Yeah. Orange.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Great show. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
I made this mustard chicken, and it is excellent. So.
And
Howard Johnson's?
One more call.
Pepin's, yeah.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Connie from Florida. I got scooped on a couple of them. Hi. I had Mississippi, and I'm also CM, so I had Levi Strauss. My guesses are for impulse buying, something to do with fingernails, like emery board or nail file or clippers.
Good guesses, but no, neither one.
Oh.
Okay, and then the highest percentage making over $17 an hour.
Yes.
I'm thinking Mid-Atlantic, Maryland or Delaware?
Nope, no place on the East Coast.
Okay, those are my only guesses. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, time to clean up here. Kira, I'll start with you.
Oh, we heard from Minnesota and Florida today.
We did
awesome.
Today. Yeah.
All right. So the Got Milk commercial with Aaron Burr, that was directed by Michael Bay. Michael Bay.
Oh,
and
no
the American Express commercial, My Card, that one was Wes Anderson. That's all I had.
Okay.
That's
and Laurie.
Our Latin scholars did not call in, but faster, higher, stronger. The original expression in Latin is sitius, altius, fortius.
I should point out that Noel did have the right answer to that. So
for the motto? Oh, give her a bell then.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that was my only question. So that's it for me.
Okay. What children's book was banned in China from 1965 to 91 because of its portrayal of early Marxism? Of course, you just didn't connect the dots on this. Green Eggs and Ham.
Oh, we're going red on it. Green Eggs and Ham. Yeah.
So nice job to Lori for getting to Dr. Seuss.
Thank you. Yeah.
And what U.S. state has the least percentage of workers earning less than $17 an hour? In other words, the most workers earning over $17 an hour. That is Washington. Washington State. 12%. We're talking about. And the three most common non-food or drink items bought at supermarket impulse checkout bought as impulse buys at supermarket checkout 2023, hand sanitizer, gift cards, Chapstick.
Yeah. So, not magazines. Okay.
Not magazines. No. So if we didn't get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We appreciate your listenership and calls very much. Thanks to our panel. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handing the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks. Take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.